Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Thursday. 5:05 on the dot. Mm. Hancock and Kelly are here.
Hey.
Michael and Trish are catching up. You guys are old buddies from years back, right?
Totally.
Sorry, Michael.
Totally. Well, I don't know about years back. We've been hanging out for eight, nine years.
So when I first started in this building, it's like, and then I just got divorced. He has such a great group of friends, like men, women, just a nice people who are very welcoming.
You can just never remember what you did. That's the problem.
We were with Karen Kelly. We went to the Paul McCartney concert at Busch Stadium and still one of the best concerts I've ever seen. And I am not, I'm not a fan, but I'm not like a diehard Beatles fan like Dave Glover is, but what an amazing show.
Yeah, it's like seeing Beethoven live.
I mean, oh, yeah, just like that.
It's exactly Paul McCartney?
Like that. I've seen Beethoven.
Yeah.
So, John, you said that was before your time. How long have you guys been doing a show together?
Oh, no, it's long. I thought you guys knew each other. No, Michael and I go back to 2002.
Okay.
Yeah. So however many years that was.
It was a contentious relationship at first. We didn't. John was the head of the Republican Party. I was the head of the Democratic Party, and he was having a press conference saying some terrible things about
Gene Carnahan. He busted my press conference.
I did.
He
came, I got all
just
the press.
Broke in and started handing out paper to the reporters. I'm like, who is this kid? And
this is a rom-com.
Yeah, it was, I mean, rude. Rude.
So how did you start doing a show together?
So, well, and so I busted into one of his press conferences.
He did.
And then we debated each other for the Chamber of Commerce, and then we talked afterwards. And I thought, hey, he's not a bad guy. And then I had a piece of business that needed a Democrat, and I didn't know any Democrats, so I called Kelly, and I said, you want to work on this account? And he said, sure. So we did that, and then we worked on a tobacco tax campaign together.
Right.
And then we came in, I was a guest on the Reardon Roundtable, and they couldn't find a Democrat. And I said, well, let's call
Imagine
Michael
that, a
Kelly.
Democrat didn't want to go on with Reardon.
So he did, and then they had us back, and then they started having us back every week to talk about the 2008 election.
Oh, my God.
And then they asked us to fill in.
So specifically, you were always the Republican. He was always the Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
Like every week on this show.
Yeah.
So you built a rapport.
This was before whatever the Reardon Roundtable
became. And then, as life goes, you go, we've gone through each other's personal crap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And just, I love the guy. I mean, he's got a heart of gold. And he's, you know, he says some ridiculous things, but he's got a heart of gold, and I'd love him. I would trust, you know, when I had a stroke, I couldn't get hold of my wife because she was in the movie theater, and so I called Kelly.
This is
true.
I know the exact day this was. It was the day that Mayor Slay announced he wasn't going to run for mayor, and I had a bunch of people calling me saying they were going to run for mayor. Hancock kept calling me. I'm like, what's up? He goes, pal, what are you doing? I said, I'm in a meeting. He goes, well, I'm in a ambulance. I said, what?
No, I called you before the ambulance. I was still laying on the floor at Moss's.
But he says, I think I've had a stroke. I was like, dude, I haven't got time to play games. And he goes, no, really. So I end the meeting. I run out to Missouri Baptist.
Yeah.
I show up to the emergency room, and I said, I'm here to see my partner, John Hancock. And the lady looks at me.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And I said, well, radio partner. And she goes, well, here, we'll take you back. And so they took me back. By calling you my partner probably allowed me to come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, he's the only person I know who
has. As soon as you said that, after seeing Hancock, they're like, oh, we knew that.
Yeah. And, of course, he's the only person I know who has a stroke because it didn't affect his speech because I could hear him from about half a floor away.
Side was gone, but the mouth was still working.
Yeah, so he's in there mouthing off about me, and I looked at the lady, and the wife, we were still waiting on Georgianne to show up, and I said, how is it? She goes, well, we gave him the shot. He may be very lucky. And I said, well, awesome. And he goes, Kelly, if you're going to lose a side of your body, it might as well be the left side. I'm like, how can you be making jokes, dude? You just had a stroke.
That's great.
Good times. Good times laying on the ground there. Yeah.
But, I mean, it, throughout it all, I mean, John still believes what he believes. And we fight each other a lot and with candidates running against each other.
Yeah.
We work together a lot on different things and, you know. I've grown to love the guy. He's just the most politically misguided human being I've ever met.
Well, there you have it.
Not the.
No, that guy's at Mar-a-Lago.
So I'm really interested in this. I know both of your titles, but I don't know what you do. So
yeah,
like
sure.
Going back to the old days, yeah. Who would hire you for what purpose and like what did you bring to the table?
Well, so our companies are different. I used to be what Michael is. He's got, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 employees. Mm-hmm. I used to have a firm that size, and now it's just me and a partner. So we provide, our core business is opposition research. And so that business we do all over the country. And then in Missouri, I'll advise Republican candidates, coordinate their campaigns, not as a campaign manager, but as a general consultant, where we'll hire the media vendor and the pollster and all the people that are going to, we'll write the campaign plan. Doing that right now for somebody running for Congress.
Right.
And so that we kind of provide that service. And then, you know, we'll get into an occasional client. We'll white label some direct mail. I'll use a friend for that. And then different things. But that's basically our business. And I do some corporate consulting as well.
This is going to come out bad. But do you ever feel bad doing the opposition research? Like, this isn't the way we should be winning.
No, because it's not like we dig through people's trash cans. It's, you know, it's researching the record of the person you're running against. And it's also researching our own client to find out what's there.
Yeah.
But you're looking for inconsistencies where, you know, you'll find a quote where they say, my top priority is protecting the taxpayers. Well, they voted for 27 tax hikes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, and I think that's a legitimate part of the political discourse.
Yeah, I think what you're believing, Dave, is that you're, you know, we're looking for people who are cheating on their wives or
you know,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's
we don't
really
do that.
Not what it is about. You know, to be honest with you, there was a lot of research done on candidates, and if people actually paid attention to it, the voters, we'd know a lot of stuff before they ever got there. Donald Trump would be a perfect example. Eric Greitens would be a perfect example of people that you've done research on. And, we know that the money's coming from all dark sources or that they have tax issues, et cetera.
We just researched a client and found this yesterday. It's another state, not Missouri. Somebody's running for the U.S. Senate. And wealthy person, and the family has a foundation. And so they lobbyists in D.C. reported that they received $700,000 in lobbying contracts from the foundation. The foundation's IRS 990s disclosed no money for lobbying.
It's a problem.
And one of the things that the lobbyists said claimed they lobbied for was the candidate was up for an ambassadorship to some country appointed by somebody. And they lobbied to support their nomination in D.C. They use nonprofit tax-exempt money. Now, that's a good find.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably going to be a game changer in that race, and we probably should charge more for the research.
Yeah, and so we do research around the country just like John does, and, you know, we have clients all the time. I work for left-of-center candidates, maybe not necessarily the most progressive at times, but sometimes progressive. And I had a candidate recently who, you know, we do a thorough examination. You visit with them. You ask them where their positions are. Have they ever taken a stand on things? And choice was one of the issues. And the guy says, oh, yeah, I'm pro-choice. And sure enough, we found out when he was running for dog catcher in Podunk, Iowa, that he, in fact, had said he was pro-life. Well, that's the kind of stuff that comes back to you because, you know, you're lying, dude.
Yeah, better we find it.
Yeah, better that we find it. Than, and if done properly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we call it inoculation stuff. If an inoculation is done properly, a candidate should never have anything coming at them that they didn't expect.
Really, and if your own client's lying to you, you'll find it. And that, you know, that kind of gives you the heat.
And it teaches you a lot about the person, the way they handle it when you go in front of them and say, hey, wait a minute.
This is years ago. He's running for state rep in Indiana. And he'd had like 6 bankruptcies. And he worked at a toll booth. That was his job. He's running for state rep. And so we had to go to the courthouse to get all of his bankruptcy because it was paper. You couldn't get it online. So we're driving back to St. Louis, going through Indiana. We go through the toll booth. There he is.
Holy crap.
He was standing in the toll booth, and we got his picture, like, on the front seat. So that was awkward.
So, but I think the thing that I'm most proud of that John and I have done together, besides the friendship and the work we do here on the radio, is we worked to pass all of the police tax increases that raised the pay throughout the region for in the city and the county and in St. Charles County. So there's an issue where, you know, we're not fighting each other. We're together on that.
Yeah. Working together. And that was fun. And we did the zoo thing,
too,
a couple years ago.
We did the zoo thing together. Yeah. We've done, you know, other issues like that, nonpartisan stuff.
I'm partisan because I love you guys. But I honestly, if the two of you could take over and run everything, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Because between the two of you, You have very diverse views, but you respect each other. You can work together, and you'd come up with the best solution. And I would trust the two of you to do it over any of these other monkeys.
Well, you know, that's how Congress used to work. And it just doesn't work that way anymore. And it's Joe Manchin is holding out in hopes that somehow, some way.
What do we think of Joe Manchin?
I love him.
Oh, I bet you do. I think Joe Manchin is problematic on a couple of issues for me, especially on the voting rights stuff that's going on right now.
It's a bad bill.
But, you know, I do appreciate the fact that, look, this pendulum swings. You know, let's think about when Barack Obama got elected. We had 60 Democratic senators. That lasted 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then quickly, as his presidency evolved, he lost control. And so soon the shoe's going to be on the other foot. So I get why liberals and progressives and Democrats like myself are salivating to finally push through our stuff. But at the same time, this snake may wind up biting us because we may lose a couple of Senate seats and then the shoe's on the other foot. I think the reason that this is getting so much energy amongst Democrats, Dave and group, is because of what happened with the Supreme Court nomination and the way that the Republicans really, you know, bamboozled the nomination for Barack Obama. I think Democrats are saying, hey, we want our pound of flesh, too.
Yeah.
And I think that there's more energy behind what's going on.
Revenge best served cold.
Yeah. But I think if you talk to—
That's old Bill said that.
But I think if you would talk to a Kit Bond or a Claire McCaskill or somebody who's no longer in the United States Senate, the filibuster has an important purpose, and they would be leery of it going away because the shoe will be on the other foot someday. Would you agree?
Totally. Yeah. And I'm not a fan of this elections bill. Look, I'm all for opening up the ballot process, but that's not what the House passed bill. The reason you have a filibuster is that the House passes crazy stuff, and I don't care who's in charge. The House passes crazy stuff, and that's why the Senate needs to have some consensus and make it better.
Okay. I wish we didn't have to do commercials.
No, you don't.
Right now, I do. I know that the House is supposed to be the hot house, and then you go to the Senate, and it's the cooling house. But, I mean, are people who are elected to the House supposed to be less intelligent? Is it like, hey, you know, you guys are kooky. Just be crazy. Because the Senate has grown-ups. I mean, it almost seems like it's an open thing.
It's the rules. It's all how the rules are structured. And if you do away with the filibuster, the Senate will be the House.
Okay.
And, but, you know, if you've got 50% plus one in that House and you can keep your people together, you could do whatever the heck you want, you know? And some of it... And look, both of us have extreme elements in our parties.
Right here in our own state.
Yeah, right.
Josh Hawley and Cori Bush.
And if you're in leadership, you got to throw those extreme elements a bone every now and then. So you end up passing some goofy stuff. And so that's the system. The founders were
brilliant.
Brilliant. And we've tinkered with some of their stuff to our own regret.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with more of Hancock and Kelly. Welcome back, guys. 523 DGS, Hancock and Kelly. So I said something emotional earlier in the week, and I wanted to see how close to true you guys think it is.
Okay.
I don't know why I was in a bad mood, but we're talking about politics, and I said, I think that state reps and state senators, I know what Trish said, I think people who go into politics do it for the right reasons, their heart's in the right place. And I said, I agree with that. But once you get above that level, I think your soul starts to turn black. Any truth to that?
No. I mean, it certainly for some it does. But
like
I think
the enticements become too much for the average person.
Well, maybe the average. But there are really good people in elective office. And there are really bad. Well, I heard you guys talking about the cops earlier. Yeah. Same principle. All aspects of humanity are going to be found in a legislative body. You're going to have some really outstanding, high quality people. You're going to have some jerks, and you're going to have a lot of folks just kind of in the middle.
The camera likes the jerks, and that's the ones we see the most.
It troubles me that most people believe that all politicians are crooks and blah blah blah, because they're not. And but when that's how you relate to your government, that's not healthy.
Yeah, it just isn't.
I agree with John. I think everybody goes into politics with good intentions and wants to get involved and is doing it for the right reasons. There are two elements that are going on right now that didn't used to exist in politics, even in the time that I've been involved with it. Number one is fame. Politics has also brought about fame, hence the reason Mark McCluskey's running and Donald Trump ran and, Kanye West ran. I mean, there's this rush to fame. The other thing that I think is really hard about politics, I don't believe our country is as divided as it is. But I think because of the way that we're communicating and because of the media structures that we have, we've got people who are very passionate on the right and very passionate on the left. And regular people like probably who are listening to this radio show have checked out.
I got a live read. I got a live read for you, Glover. Mm-hmm. Call my friends at XYZ. They've been in the business for 6 minutes and they have absolutely no experience cleaning your windows, but give them a shot because, well, they're crazy. I mean, that's how we're running.
I have no experience. I know nothing.
When's the last time somebody ran for office with the tagline, experience counts? Never.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, and I feel like now I know the answer to the question, but it just seems like there's so much mistrust between the parties. I was going to ask you if it's actually genuine or if politicians or the people, in charge of the media have just figured out this is how you get people to respond.
I don't think it's mistrust. I think that they're being forced into the positions they're in. I think Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, believe it or not, do have a relationship and know how to
find compromise.
They
just can't pretend like
they
do in front of
people. There is no way right now with Chuck Schumer being the head of the Senate, it's much easier for him to keep his people in line than it is for Mitch McConnell. And I think he's just driven into a place where he has to be, overly adversarial with him. You kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's the public face, and then there's the—I do think the relationships still exist inside that building. Now, you've got your AOCs and you've got your Matt Gaetzes, on the opposite poles or whatever. But there are still some good across-the-aisle relationships that exist in Washington and in every state legislative body in the country. But it is the extreme folks that get the FaceTime that Trish was talking about. And the stuff that actually happens to get done, you never see. And it's by design. It's best that we don't see it because that's how stuff gets done. And I do think some of that still takes place, but it's getting harder. Yeah. It is getting harder.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
536 DGS. Hey, guys, look, I think I'm going to be on Fox 2 in a minute.
I got to see this.
So Fox 2 came in earlier to interview me in the studio about seeing the shootout yesterday. And then Beth from KMOX, the news director, just sent me a screenshot where I look ridiculous. And she goes, yeah, you weren't the lead story. It was a bear. And I'm like, dang. They know how to prioritize.
Be the shooter next time. Maybe you can get be the top story.
Be the shooter
so anyway,
next time.
I just started blasting.
So I said, you know what? You're not going to take me alive. Rach, what's this deal with the MoviePass thing?
Do you guys remember MoviePass?
I don't.
So it was like an app you could get. It was a service. You paid $9.95 a month, and you were able to see one film in theaters per day.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that is a really good deal. One a day for $9.99 a month?
That's correct. It was kind of.
Can I still get it?
No, because it officially closed for good in 2019. The reason why you could get, you know, 30 films in a month for $9.95 is because apparently MoviePass's entire business plan. We're all just watching the TV. I'm just trying to to keep one eye on the TV. They were counting on you only seeing one film. So if you like in the whole month. So if you wanted to see three or four movies, they would intentionally make the app crash. They would intentionally give you error messages because they didn't want to pay for you to go see it.
Okay.
It wasn't like you bought it through Werenberg and Werenberg
they
was
had to
covering
actually pay.
Absolutely. It's kind of like there's something called ClassPass where you can buy this membership and you get into all of these different gyms classes. And it's like, a lot of these things are kind of built on the idea that you're not going to use it that much. That's why you're getting such a heavy discount. But MoviePass is out there like just saying it like, yeah, we basically intentionally messed this up for people because we didn't want them to see more than one movie a month.
That's crap.
So crazy.
I mean, when that's literally your business. Mm. That's what you do.
Please sign up for MoviePass. You can see unlimited movies, one a day. But don't do that. Don't do that. Just see one per month. Just
that
absolutely
is a
crazy.
Lot, though. You would think it'd be like four a month.
So they would
one a week.
They overshot it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they would lock people out of their accounts when they were using it too much, even though it was marketed as once a day. This happened to over 75,000 users. And many of them said that they were locked out of their accounts and were told that their password reset process had failed.
Did people sue them or they just closed the business and said, I'm done?
I guess
with this.
The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, investigated them. And so that's how we're figuring all of this out now. Mm. I don't see anything as far as like people getting money out of it, but I assume they had to close the business because the business model was terrible.
Yeah.
They're just panicking the more people use the service.
Dave, you have a mortician for me yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Got a lead on some Freemason stuff.
Okay,
you know
good.
Oh,
that's good.
Exciting. Didn't even ask him for that.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
Very proactive.
Did your parents do anything like that when you were a kid that was like, I don't know, like my dad was a union carpenter, and I love my dad. My dad gets a bad rap because, I mean, you know, he was my dad, and he was like scary, like all World War II dads. But when he would go to union meetings, we would get TV dinners. And I love, and my dad wasn't there, and I could be like squirrely and, you know, be fine. Did you have things like that growing up where, like, a certain night, like, if your dad would leave or you would, friends are coming over, things like that?
Not exactly like that, but my dad used to go to union meetings too, and he has a story he loves to tell. Every Sunday, he would look for cars. You know, the dealership's closed. We'd be on the way home for church, and I would hate it. Like, I don't want to go look at cars. He would just look. He's not even buying one. I'm like, what is this man's problem? So one day, he must have been on strike. They must have been on strike. He pulls into the union hall to collect his check. Mm-hmm. You know, they get a check to help him make it through. And there were all these cars in the parking lot, so I started crying. I was like, Dad, I don't want to look at cars. He's really pulling into a union meeting.
She started crying.
How about you, Rach? Anything like that? Yet.
Not really. Sorry. I can't think of anything. I'm sorry.
Think of it now.
Think of something really charming.
Maybe this wasn't like that relevant to what we're talking about, but my grandma always worked at Grafton City Hall. And sometimes like she would be watching me and my brother and we would hang out at City Hall a lot. Yeah. And once in a while, we would have to be there super late because they would have, like, their council meetings.
Yeah.
And that was always kind of fun.
I think you saying that made me think of every Friday we would go to the bank, Wood River Bank. And when I was a kid, there were rules. And grown-ups were grown-ups. And I think as a kid of my generation, you went one way or the other. You either, like adopted it or you said, I'll never live up to this. And that's why I look like I dress like I'm late for third grade and, you know, don't know how much money I have. And you know, I don't know how to do anything. We would go into the bank and it was like marble floors and it was really quiet and you could hear every footfall. And it was just money, banking, loan officers. And I knew instinctively at 6 years old, oh, you're never going to fit in this world.
Really?
And I didn't. And I think partially I just it was like a, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it all just seems so grown up and so serious and passbook saving accounts. And
it was quiet.
How much are we going to keep out? How much are we going to put in? And it really, really affected me.
Did you get a lollipop?
Dum-dums.
Dum-dums.
That was the best part about going to the bank. That's why I always like going with my parents, because I knew I was going to get a root beer lollipop all the time. It was the best. It was the best feeling in the world.
Believe it or not, there is one time in my life where I was like financially solvent. Like probably when I was about 8, I had those little pig things you'd put quarters in. And
piggy bank?
Like, no, but it was like paper. It was like paper that you'd put the real quarter in. They would look at me like I'm nuts. Anyway, so I was saving my quarters.
We both said a piggy bank.
And we had like green stamps. Like I was all about it. But then once they're like, now you get to put it into a bank account. You never see it. And I'm like,
what are you talking about?
Crap.
Just picturing kindergarten Dave walking into a bank and going like, this is not for me.
Oh, yeah.
I do not even know how to count correctly yet.
Even school. Just everything. When I was a kid, there was seemingly zero like choices to be different. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It was, here's what you do. Here's how you do it. Here's your next step in life. Go do that. And it was also very regimented. I didn't know anyone weird. Well, that's not true. My brother-in-law's side of the family was weird. And I would go to his mom's house, and it was like hippies, and, you know, I saw people naked. And I'm just like, now, here are my people. Like, now I know what I want to do.
Here's where I belong. With the naked.
But guys, trust me, do not go to the bank. You are not going to like it there.
You are not going to fit in. I mean, they have these dumb suckers, but I like the way you look naked. No, but that was the only home I'd ever seen that was the least bit outside the box.
I know what you're saying. I grew up with the same kind of people. The parents were all the same. Yeah, you went to the same after school activities. Like nothing was different.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I probably would have honestly had a better, happier life had I just conformed and said like, great. It just never worked for me. Anywho.
Now the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. And if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Going to finish out the show as we often do with the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. Hello, John.
How is Dave Gold Glover today?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad. Thank you. So we broke the streak, right? That's great.
That is great. And Adam Wainwright did it. We were talking about that the other day. If there's somebody who can be a stopper, it's somebody like Adam Wainwright. And after he gave up 2 runs on 3 hits in the first inning, he did not allow another hit. He hit a batter. And that was their only runner after the first inning against Wainwright, who went 7 innings and picked up the W. So the Cardinals are going to Chicago on a winning note, and let's go after the Cubs this weekend. And it will be interesting because they can be back to full capacity on Saturday at Wrigley Field.
I got to tell you, John, I have so many former professional athletes who want to be on the show because they wrote a book about how to, you know, win at life and invest money. And I couldn't care less. Like, you're a great shortstop. I don't care what else you have to say. Adam Wainwright should write a book. That guy is just as solid of a guy as you get.
Oh, you're right about that. He's the real deal. I have so many people ask me about Adam Wainwright, and I said, I wish you could just spend 5 minutes with him. And he is the same person off the field that he is at a function for an award or when he's helping people. And he helps so many people with his foundation worldwide. A great family man, just a delightful person to be around. He picks everybody up when he comes in the room. And his book would sell a lot of copies. I know it would in St. Louis and certainly down in Georgia where he's from.
So Tyler O'Neill, 2 home runs, leading the team with 15. That's great news.
Boy, it sure is. And the way he plays in the outfield, I just have my fingers crossed every time I see him leave his feet diving for a ball in the outfield that he's okay. He runs so fast.
Yeah.
And he is so strong that when he hits the ground, it's a collision. And he really gives his body a beating playing defense, but he only knows one way to play. And I really appreciate that. Cardinal fans definitely appreciate it, Dave. And he is so much fun to watch. He's a great guy, and he's starting to get his feet on the ground at the major league level, and that's exciting to watch.
John, you love this. My 94-year-old Cardinals-obsessed mother, every time we're watching together, she'll say, I don't like that Tyler O'Neill.
And I'll say, what do you like about him? He's a great player. He hustles. He goes, I don't like that bodybuilding physique on a man. Like, okay, Mom, fair enough. Good reason to not like a dude.
Well, that runs in the family because his daddy was a bodybuilding champion in Canada.
Wow.
And,
cool.
And Tyler's just a strong guy, and it's amazing how big and strong he is and how fast he is.
Yeah.
I mean, in football, they have pads on, Dave.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the padding on out there except maybe an elbow guard or mm-hmm. a batter's shin guard, but mm-hmm. he's in the batter's box. But he is some kind of athlete, and I like to say that probably the best overall athlete I ever covered was Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But Tyler O'Neill is so strong, and I'll bet you he could gain a few yards playing football, too.
Bet you could. So, finally, I'm happy for you and the boys that you're going to get to go on the road again.
We're excited about it. We'll be in the ballpark at Wrigley Field for the 3-game series and hopefully on the road for the rest of the season. And that's like old times, but we need to be there, Dave, so we can tell the fans what we see, what's going on, and we're not at the mercy of pushing our nose against the screen and hoping that we see everything we need so we can give the fans a game.
Absolutely. Safe travels, my friend, and have great games this weekend, and thanks so much.
I'll talk to you next week when we're back home to play Miami.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.